And the defense of this is in the, we're still in the world, as we said, and if we take it in its context, it's in the everyday natural relationships in which you're found. That's where the enemy attacks us, and that's the most, for us, I should say, it's the most dangerous place for us. We sort of think we can, in the home, we can let down the defense. But you notice, as you go ahead, I won't read it, but it's children and parents, and the relationship between children and parents. First of all, before that, was husband and wife. And then fathers and children, servants, and their masters. And in all of this, we're told here, there's a danger that we give up the armor, or that we're not standing in defense against the very truths of which you uphold. Our home could easily be a worldly sphere and fair, rather than reflecting in the home the spiritual riches that we have, which we're to uphold and we're to enjoy. You know, it's one thing to speak in a conference and to be in a meeting and there say, okay, brother, we have to be firm. We have to hold these truths now. We have to stand for it. And in the home, we let down every barrier and we break down there. If we break down there, we've already broken down in the assembly of God's people. And the conflict is there. And that's why, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We need that in the household. We need that at the workplace, wherever we're found. Masters need it. Servants need it. Children need it. Parents need it. Fathers need it. And in a special way, in relation to their children. And that to maintain an attitude, an atmosphere, where the father's influence, spiritual influence, affects the life, the lifestyle of the family and the children. We don't let things go there and try to maintain them in the meeting.
I think that's, if I might, just underline this point again. That's why he started with, finally. It seems like there are a couple of things that have taken place prior to that. The interesting thing is the three circle we have heard about, the circle of the brethren, the circle of the family, and the circle of the workplace. They are in the heavenly places. I would have thought this is something in the field of Moab. And if it was mentioned in Roman, it would make a lot of sense. But here we're talking about spiritual brothers and sisters that are going to function in those three circles, realizing that the enemy will attack in there. And my behavior in the heavenly places ought to be displayed in those three circles, as I have put on in chapter 4, verse 20, the new man. That new man is going to function in those circles that are really belong to earth, but is going to function with a totally different principle, and the enemy was going to attack that. So having done that, he said, finally, my brother, it is like one more thing you need to do now. Be strong in the Lord.
He read 12 references to the assembly in the book of Ephesians. The assembly is the chief interest of our Lord Jesus Christ. He loved the assembly. He delivered himself up for the assembly. He's the merchant who bought the pearl of one great price. So no wonder it says that in Ephesians, because we're part of the assembly. The chief interest of our Lord Jesus is the church, the assembly. Christ loved the church and delivered himself up for it. And every believer is a member of the assembly. And how important that is to defend the assembly position. Going back to Joshua, there were 31 kings. 31 kings that Joshua cut their heads off. The 31 sins mentioned in Romans chapter 1. Sin pops his head up in all different aspects, but Joshua cuts their heads off. So you have to be careful about these sins. But how good the emphasis, I think, in chapter of the Ephesians is the assembly. I speak of Christ and the assembly. And so we too should speak of it.
And there is no gathering as a gathering of the assembly. No parliament of the world can boast of the presence of the Lord. That where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. And I was here thinking concerning the power of his might. And I think that the word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. With his word he shall smite the nations, as with that same two-edged sword proceeding out of his mouth. In Revelations we see that he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The activity of the Spirit of God using the Word of God, you know, there is no greater power than that, than God himself.
Aside from the assemblies, can we get a understanding of heavenly places?
I think the brethren were saying that the heavenly places is not heaven, right. But is a sphere in which we enjoy these things that God has given.
And in that atmosphere, yes, we take things up. But I wonder, brethren, and help me along here. We're challenged about putting on the defensive armor that we have delineated here for us. And we realize that the assembly is the aggregate of individual believers that make up the assembly. And the challenge then is for each of us to put on the armor. But tell me, if I know very little about the atmosphere of the heavenly places, I know very little, I appreciate very little of that atmosphere, how am I going to effectively put on the armor of defense? What am I defending? And I wonder if that's not a challenge to myself personally and to each of us. Because that's why we have the first three chapters of Ephesians. It brings us into God's perspective of what he has for the assembly, what he has for us. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been adopted, brought into the sphere of sonship. We've gotten it through redemption, forgiveness of sins. We need to be at that level of enjoyment of what God has done. If I'm not there, then I can't enter upon chapter 6. Because what will I be defending? And I just wonder, brethren, if that's not something to take into consideration.
The only problem is that we're going to finish at 3 o'clock, at 3:30. And to take the first 5 chapters of Ephesians is going to require 5 years.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that we should take any of them up. I'm just saying the emphasizing of the reality of these things. Because I'm not going to take anything up in terms of the armor and putting it on, the panoply of God, and defending. What am I defending if I have no exercise of heart?
And I just to add to that, I think one of the beauty of our Bible conferences is this. We are not going to feed you with spoon. You need, I think the verse was mentioned earlier about Joshua. You go, you put your foot on that land, on that piece of land, then it is yours. So the challenge to us is this. Are we going to go back and go into the book of Ephesians? Larry has mentioned a few books that he has there. And really do some honest, hard work to really understand what do I really have. So I will be able to defend it. Because you're right. If I don't appreciate the value of it, why am I going to defend it? But now, just to move on, he said, be strong in the Lord. I think he brings before us something that's very, very important. It is not be strong in Christ. It is be strong in the Lord. He brings before us again because it is our wrestle is against lordship. You are not going to be able to be strong in your own power or in your own strength. For those kind of enemies, you are not going to be able to stand. You will be defeated right away. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It is that might that we have in the book of Ephesians. I think in every chapter, there is allusion to the power of God. The tremendous power of God that was shown, the power that worked in us. that work for us, the power that work with us. It is the power of God that's on our behalf. So those that enemy is so mighty, we have someone here, the might of his power.